And last week's Shedra, there is something that Rashi says in Erevin, Yudches, that is a lesson of Derech Eretz. It's not a halacha, it's not a chiyuv, it's not something you have to do, or if you don't do it, you're over an isser. But it's a limud of Derech Eretz, Rashi says. So it fits in perfectly with this idea. This is the purpose of Sefer Bereishis, to teach us these kinds of things. What is that Derech Eretz? The Derech Eretz is the following. The Gemara says that when God spoke about Noach in the beginning of the Sedra and described Noach to the world through the Torah, Noach, ish tzadik tamim hayah b'dorosav, so it described Noach as an ish tzadik tamim, a perfectly righteous man. When God told Noach to his face why he's saving him from the flood, he said, ki oscha ra'isi tzadik lefanai b'dor hazeh. But the word tamim, perfect, is left out. So the Gemara comments on that. Rashi says it there in the Chumash too, quotes the Gemara, that nitza shvacho b'fanav, they call shvacho shol b'fanav. It's Derech Eretz that when you speak to somebody directly, you only say a portion of their praise. But when you speak about them, right, then you say all their praise. You don't say all a person's praise to his face. That's Derech Eretz. Now let's see what that means. So it sounds very nice, you know, nice behavior. Don't praise a person to his face too much. Praise him not in his presence. There you can say whatever you want. So on the surface, it's a nice thing. I'm going to show you how much it's a divine framework that's here, not just some nice behavior. On the simple level, how would I understand this? One of three ways. One way is that if you praise somebody to their face verbosely, it looks like you're trying to flatter them. And flattery is not a positive thing. So it looks bad. It looks like flattery. When you praise them not to their face, you're not flattering them, they're not around. So then there's nothing wrong with saying a lot of their praises. But when you praise them to their face, it shouldn't look like flattery, so only a portion of their praise. That idea, the Maral mentions as an idea in why you don't say all of a person's praises to his face. Another idea, you don't want the guy to get carried away with himself. He starts saying all his praises, he begins to get, you know, a Bogaiva, right? He becomes haughty. It's not proper to cause somebody to be haughty. So only say a portion of the praises to his face, but you can praise a person not to his face with anything because he's not necessarily going to hear about it and become haughty. So that's another reason, and that the Marsha mentions as a reason, right? That you shouldn't cause the other person to be haughty. I was thinking of another idea. It makes the person feel bad. Why? Because no matter how much you think that you've exhausted the praises of this person, he doesn't think like that. And maybe rightfully so too, because people know more about themselves than anybody knows. And they always know things that you don't know, and there's more. So when you say all the praises of the person, you stop. He says, that's all? I know a lot more, right? And he feels, he should not say it, but he says it to himself. And he says to himself, gee, I thought I had a lot more praises than that. So if you only say a portion of the praises, the guy always says, well, there's a lot more, right? And he imagines that a lot more is what he thinks also. So you hurt a person's feelings by saying all his praises in his face. Okay. So those are the simple ideas. There's only one problem with all of this, the Medrash. The Medrash also brings down this idea, and it adds something to it. It says this same Derech Eretz applies to God. That when you praise God to his face, you only say a portion of his praises. Right? And the Medrash brings on a pasuk, Imru Lelokim, say to God, Manora Masecha, right? That's when to his face. When you say to God, when you're speaking to him, it's only a mitzvah. But when you're not speaking to God, you're speaking about him, Hodu Hashem Kitov, Kiliolam Chazdo, there you go, all out. Now none of these reasons apply to this, to God, on both sides. We'll see. When you're speaking to God, so the reason that maybe the person will become haughty, or my reason that he feel hurt, doesn't apply. God's not going to feel hurt, right, because he said all his praises, and he's going to feel bad because he knows more praises, or whatever, so that doesn't apply to God. And God is not going to become haughty because you say all his praises. So that reason doesn't apply if you're talking to God. And here it says it does apply to God. And so the reason, though, that it looks like you're flattering him, that may apply. You don't want to look like you're flattering God either, right? But on the other hand, it doesn't apply the other way around. God didn't say Noah's praises to his face. Now, if the reason is because it looks like the person who's saying it is flattering, that doesn't apply to God. We're not going to suspect God of flattery. Obviously, he said it for a reason. So the reason of flattery doesn't apply from God to man, and the other reasons don't apply from man to God. And yet the Medrash says it applies from man to God, and the Gemara says it applies from God to man. So what's the reason? So these reasons don't seem to apply. So what is the reason? And beyond that, what's the concept of when you speak in God's presence, then you can say only a portion, and when you speak not in his presence, what do you mean not in his presence? You're always speaking in God's presence. God's everywhere. Nothing is not in his presence. So what does that mean? When you speak in his presence, b'fanav is one thing. Shalom b'fanav, when you ever shalom b'fanav of HaKadosh Baruch. So the truth is, it's not such a serious question. There's a simple answer to this, which the Ein Eliyahu says. The Ein Eliyahu is one of the commentaries on the Medrash, and basically on the Ein Yaakov, really. And he says the following. He says, true, it doesn't apply to God at all. But God sometimes functions in a way that doesn't apply to him to teach us, Derech Eretz, how we should act. Example. It says that when God came to create the world, or to create man, he asked the angels' advice, whether he should create man or not, to teach us that even a great person should ask advice from a lesser person. Now, God doesn't need any advice. So the whole concept by God doesn't apply. But God wanted to teach us by functioning in a way that is functional to human beings, even though by God the whole concept doesn't apply, wanted to teach us a lesson. Another example comes to mind. It says that you should judge people favorably. Give the benefit of the doubt. And God also gives people the benefit of the doubt. Now, by God, there's no such thing as benefit of the doubt. He knows everything. So he knows if you deserve the benefit of the doubt or not. But God functions in a way that doesn't really apply to him, so to teach us how we should act. God acts as if he would be a human being to teach human beings how to act. Even though by God himself, the concept doesn't apply. So the same thing over here. God said only a portion of the praise, and he tells us to only say a portion of his praise, even though it really doesn't apply. But in order to teach us how to function between man and man, God wants us to function between with him the same way, and he functions with us that same way, even though in fact it doesn't really apply to him. Okay, that's a simple way of answering it. But a better way, I think. And that it does apply. Very much so, if you understand the concept of why, what's the basis of this, why you only say portion of a praise to a person's face, and why not in his presence you say the whole thing. And that's the following. What's the purpose, the cloud, right? What's the purpose of praising somebody to their face, and what's the purpose of praising them not in their presence? So let's start with the easier. Why would a person praise somebody to someone else, right? Because I want you to know to appreciate that person, admire that person. Right, this person is someone to be admired and appreciated, and therefore it's a good idea for you to have a connection with that person, right? Because I'm doing you a favor by introducing you to the person who you should admire and appreciate, so you will have a benefit from that person and get to know him or have a connection with that person or whatever. That's the reason, the positive reason of praising somebody to someone else. They should admire, appreciate, and eventually have some connection that they can have a benefit to such a person. What's the reason that people praise people to their face? Obviously, that's not the reason, right? The person knows himself, but he doesn't have to get to admire himself. What's the purpose? So here the Maral hints at the idea that praising somebody to their face creates a bond and a certain love and a connection between the two people. If I show you that I appreciate you and I admire you, right? So it creates a bond between us. Okay. Now, if I go on and on with all your good points, that doesn't create a bond. That looks like flattery. That's not fulfilling the purpose because it's too nebulous. what's the purpose to take one thing or two things that I feel I have a bond with you because of those midos that you have? I don't have bond with everything that you are, because we're very different people. But everybody finds something in someone else that they admire that connects them to that person. Or at different times, right? There are different attributes of the person that I feel right now, I need you for this purpose, and that's what creates the bond between us. So when you do it in a very nebulous way, it doesn't create that bond. Then it just looks like flattery. When you pick out the thing that's necessary at the moment, right now I recognize that I need to have a connection with you because of a certain circumstance, and you have a certain quality that's to be admired that I can connect into because of that circumstance, or because I have an affinity to you. We're different people, but I have an affinity to you in this thing that you have that I feel I can connect into you. I can't connect into you in everything because we're different. But there's certain things I feel an affinity that's the quality that I admire in you, which I feel I can connect into you, and we can have a close relationship because of that. But that's only specific things. So therefore, the purpose of praising somebody to his face is only achieved if you pick out specific things. Not if you say everything, because then it only affects flattery and nothing else. Now, therefore, the same thing applies to God. Why do we praise God to other people? Not speak to him directly, God, I want to praise you between me and you. But God, I want to praise you to other people. Why? Because I want to let other people know, the milas of the Rabbanu Shalom, that they should connect into him. They should admire him. They should have a connection to him. Now, I don't know what qualities the people I'm speaking to are going to find that hits their neshama that they can connect in. So it's important to say every quality and let them pick the ones that apply to them. Since I'm speaking to other people, so I want to create a connection between them and God, and I don't know them, right? So I'm giving them an array. You pick the thing about God that hits the chord of your neshama that you'll be able to have a connection to. So there's better to say a whole array of praises to get the people to recognize God, admire him, and find the thing that they can then have the connection. But when I speak to God directly, that's what it means b'fanav. It doesn't mean in his presence or not in his presence. It means when I'm speaking to God directly, I'm addressing God and praising him directly, then it's a relationship between me and him. And I know which part I need to create that relationship at this moment, or what I and can relate to. So then it's counterproductive to start mentioning a whole verbose bunch of things. They're hone in on those specific midos that you can benefit from, that you can have that connection to. So it applies to God just as much as to human beings. Now there's a Pnei Yeshua in Brachos. He says like this. He says something similar to this. He says that when you're speaking to God directly and you want to speak about one specific thing, then you can be verbose about that one specific midah, that one specific attribute that at that moment you need. And you can go on and on. But you're not speaking about a lot of different attributes. You're speaking about that one attribute that at that time you want to connect into God. There's nothing wrong with that. Even the fun of it. You can say it verbosely, but you're only honing in on one specific thing. Okay, right now I need God because I need mercy, so I can speak about God's mercy in the most verbose way, but don't speak about his strength or whatever. Speak about his mercy. Right now you need the mercy. When you're speaking not in the face of God and you're speaking and praising him stam in the world, then there's no problem with saying as many different things. And the way we explained it is because then you're giving people an array of different praises of God that they can feel that they can connect into. And each person will pick the thing that applies to them. However, by Shmona Esrei, it says, there you have to say, just say what the Torah says. Hakel HaGodol HaGibor VaNora. No more. Not allowed to say more, because then it says, well, then you're never going to say everything. So it's like praising somebody who has $1 billion that he has 1 million. So just say what the Torah says. Why? Because Shmona Esrei is a general thing. You're not trying to make a connection to God in one specific thing. You're trying to make a general connection. But over there, if you're going to try to make the general connection and try to say as much as you can, that's really not a proper thing. because when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to God, he only mentioned three things. So mention those three things, and they will cover everything, instead of going into great detail, which is not a positive thing. But if you're talking to other people about God, then you can say as many things as you want, because maybe you'll strike a sensitive chord by somebody in one of the things that you mentioned. But when you're speaking to God directly, and you want to create that general relationship, a general relationship is created by three major things and nothing more. That's the issue. Okay. And I found that the Oav Yisrael, the Rebbe from Afta, in Parshas Balos, also says the same thing. Nitzah Shvacho, right, means that to a person's face, you can be very verbose, but about one specific thing. Don't go into many different things. Not to his face, there you can mention many different things. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe and Aaron about Moshe, it mentioned a lot of different things about him. When it spoke in his presence, it only said, Anav Mi'od, the Anivus, that part. Okay. And Manela, the same thing. But when God spoke to Noah, so now we understand why speaking to God, to him, you don't say everything, you say one specific thing or two specific things, because then you're creating a relationship. When you speak about him to others, you mention as much as you can to give them the options. How about the other way around? When God speaks to human beings, how does that fit in? When God spoke to Noah directly, so there also, God speaks to a human being, he wants to let him know what connection he has with him. God wanted Noah to know, why am I saving you from the flood? So to start praising him just like this was no purpose. The purpose was to let him know what the connection between them was in the fact that he's being saved from the flood. So there, the fact that he was Tamim, and this, the Apirion, Rav Shlomo Ganzfried, I think it's the Meshech Chochma, the Or Sameach also says it. Noah, it says Tzadik Tamim. What's the difference? Tzadik b'maisa, the Tamim b'deosa. That he was a Tzadik in his actions, and he was a Tamim in his ideas. Had Noah not had great ideas, but he was a Tzadik in action, he would have been saved from the flood. So it wasn't necessary to tell Noah, you're a Tzadik Tamim. Because right now I'm telling you why I'm saving you from the flood. What's our relationship? So I'm not going to mention things that are irrelevant. I'm going to mention the relevant things. I'm not here to praise you and flatter you. I'm here to create a relationship with you. I want you to know why you're being saved. That's because you're a tzaddik, not because you're a tzaddik Tamim. Tamim is irrelevant. Now, Shankin, when God praises Noah to the world in general, and we want to learn from Noah, everybody learns something different. So here it's important. No, he's a tzaddik, he's a Tamim. Pick the thing that you will be able to relate to Noah from. So it fits God too, when God speaks to human beings. So this concept applies both from man to God and from God to man. Others say that it wasn't this idea that the Tamim, Tzadik Tamim or Tzadik, but it was a different place where we see that God was only partial praise. Because when God spoke about Noah, he said, Tamim Hoya Bedoro Sav, in all the generations that he lived, both before the flood and after the flood. And when he said to him directly, he said, Ki oscha ra'isi tzadik lefanai bador hazen, this generation. Didn't mention the other generation. Same idea. God wants to say something to Noah, to his face, to explain the relationship he has with him. Why he's saving him from the flood. When he's going to be a tzadik after the flood is not relevant. What's relevant now is that you are a tzadik in this generation where the flood is coming, you're being saved. So you don't have to mention the other generations. Mashenkin, when we're praising Noah in general, mention that he was a tzaddik, even in other generations. Now even the generations after the flood. But when you're talking to Noah, even God, and you want to create a certain relationship based on what you're talking about, the fact that he was a tzaddik in other generations has nothing to do with him being saved from the flood. The fact that he's a tzaddik in this generation is relevant. The other thing's not relevant. That's the idea. Now, with this, we can answer a question that's asked on this concept, basically on the Gemara, from another Gemara. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Godol Mashenemer be'Iyuv, Yosri Mashenemer be'Avram. In one respect, Iyuv was greater, Job was greater than Avram Avinu. Why? Because by Avram Avinu it says, Ata Yadati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. The Malach told Avram, now I know you're a God-fearing person. So by Avram, his praise was, he's a God-fearing person, Yirei Elokim. By Iyuv it says, Ish Yirei Elokim v'sar meira. Not only was he a God-fearing person, he also turned away from evil. It added an extra praise. So what do we see? That the praise of Eub is greater than the praise of Avram. So the Gemara concludes that Eub, in this respect, was greater than Avram. Says the Balei HaTosfos, according to this rule, there's no proof of that Gemara. The Gemara doesn't make any sense. Because when the Malach was speaking directly to Avram, maybe the reason he didn't say the full praise of Avram is because he spoke to him directly. So Avram was also as great as Eub. He also had the Vesar Meira. But when you speak to somebody directly, you don't say all their praises. Masha'en came in Eub, the Pasuk's not talking to Eub, it's talking about Eub. About Eub, you say all his praises. So what's the proof from the fact that it doesn't say by Avram, the Sar Meira, that he wasn't as great as Eub? Maybe he was. But here God was talking to him, so he didn't say the whole thing. And there he's talking about Eub, so he said the whole thing. But maybe both of them have both all those praises. That's his closest question on this. He doesn't even answer. Based on what we said, the answer is very simple. Just like we said, you can elaborate and what's the word I want to know? Elaborate, but when you take something and you extend it, you
extend.
Yeah, what?
Extend.
Okay, whatever. You get the idea. You can enhance, right, one meter. You shouldn't go on to other praises that are irrelevant to what you're talking about. But since the Akedah came to prove that Avraham Avinu didn't only love God, but he feared him, then any embellishment, that's the word I'm looking for, you can embellish it by saying, not only are you a God-fearing person, but you also turn away from evil. That's not a new thing. That's an embellishment of the Midah that's being talked about. The relationship of God through the Akedah to Avram was, I wanted to prove you're a Yirei Elokim, and if the Sar Meira applied to him, he could have said it to his face too. Because that doesn't fit into not saying all your praises in your face. Because anything that's part of that Midah is okay to say. It's just other midos that are irrelevant now, but this is relevant. So had Avraham Avinu had that, he would have said it even to his face. The fact that he didn't say it, but he said it about Eub, means that Eub had it and Avraham didn't have it. So it's a proof in the Gemara. Because the concept of not saying all the praises to one's face does not apply to embellishing the midah that you're talking about. It only applies to mentioning other midos that are irrelevant. With that also, it can explain something else, a maisa. It says that Rabbi Akiva Eger was given the responsibility to say a hesped for the Vilna Gaon. When the Vilna Gaon was nifter, Rabbi Akiva Eger was called upon to say a hesped. And he said, Baruch Hashem, that there's a halacha, or as a derech eretz, that you don't say all a person's praises to his face. Because if you could, I couldn't say a hesped here. Who could say all the praises of the Vilna Gaon? But it says in the Gemara that when you say a hesped, the nifter is there. The neshama of the nifter is there listening to the hesped. So I'm saying this hesped in the presence of the Vilna Gaon. I'm not allowed to say all his praises. So therefore, whatever I say will suffice, and nobody will be choshed that I said all the praises of the Vilna Gaon. How could you possibly do that? So I'm saying, whatever I say is just a mitzvah shvach of the fun of, because he's here. Now on the surface, that sounds very nice, but what in the world does mitzvah shvach of the fun of have to do with a person who's dead? Who's in Olam HaEmes. We're not afraid he's going to get haughty. Where he is now, that's not the problem. Right? We're not afraid he's going to feel bad that you didn't give all his praises, because where he is now, the Emes is the Emes. And we're not afraid that the person saying the Hesper is trying to flatter him, he's dead. So none of those reasons apply. So if we'd understand it just simply, it couldn't apply. But if you understand it the way we understood it, right, it makes very much sense. Why do you say a hesped? Not just stop to praise the person. You say a hesped for two reasons. One is to say his praises that people can connect into that person and admire him and emulate him and learn from him. And also, you say it, so why is the neshama there? Why does the neshama have to be there? The neshama is there because the person who's saying the hesped connects into the person who the hesped is being said about, and it creates a relationship between them. It creates a kesher between them. And now I can have that kesher with the neshama of that person. That's a very important thing. So each person who says a hesped has to say a hesped in that area that's relevant to him. And that's why, and when you listen to a lot of hespedim, each one picks an area that's more connected to them regarding that person. Now, all the different people who are masbid give the tzibur a lot of an array of things that they can connect into, each person according to his neshama. But each specific masbid has to pick a point that he has a kesher with that person, and the person's there, the neshama is there, I want to connect into that neshama. So it applies just as much to a person who's not alive to a person who's alive. The idea is, I want to praise you to create a kesher between us. You can create a kesher with a neshama too. I want to praise you in front of other people that they should create a kesher. Then it's important that you have a lot of different people being masbid who give the people an array of different things that they can connect in. Right, basically, what I wanted to bring out from this is that Derech Eretz is not just, you know, nice behavior. It's a deep misgeret. It's a deep framework that you have to understand why that framework exists and what the framework is. And once you understand that, then you can function within it, and then the Torah can tell you who you can praise, when you, who in front of whom you can praise. Those are halachas. Don't praise somebody in front of his enemies, because as soon as you finish the praise, they're going to say but, and it's going to lead to lashon hara. So those are halachas. But first you have to have the misgeret. What is the misgeret of praise altogether? Not who's allowed and who's not allowed. What's the way to do it that forms the framework that makes it relevant, that makes it positive? That's this Derech Eretz. If you look through Sefer Bereishis, everywhere you can find things like this. The framework of the world within which to function, and then you can get the Torah to tell you how to function within that framework. That's the purpose of Bereishis as a preface to the whole Torah, to tell me the framework first before you know the directives within that framework.